We began a series last week on the book of Ruth. A powerful, full-meaninged little book following the book of Judges in our Bibles. And this story takes place in the time of Judges, possibly in the time of Gideon. You'll find there are other texts who say, well, no, this must have been written by Samuel. But that can't be so because it mentions David. And maybe that part was added at the end. Or maybe this little book was written in the time of David, looking back at this time. Regardless, it was written and it's full of instruction and life for us, and we are so grateful for its presence. So if you'll turn to the book of Ruth. Now, the key verse of the times in which we're referring is found in Judges. Judges 17, verse 6. And the last book, or verse of the book, Judges 21, verse 25, says the same thing. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have Bibles that you can borrow. Others around you can get one for you happily. I'm reading from the New King James mostly this morning. And the key verse of the times is, every man, say it with me please, did that which was right in his own eyes. Elimelech and his family, if you recall the story of Ruth, leave Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. And they go to Moab. Now, where he's heard that there's bread. How many know that Elimelech did not find a good time in Moab? For a good time, don't go to Moab. Okay? What he had was, as a fruit of his decision, was death. Now, the main players here, because Elimelech goes there and dies, but his name, how we normally pronounce it, is not Elimelech. It is Elimelech. Can you say it with me? Elimelech. Elimelech. My God is king, is the meaning of his name. Naomi, we pronounce it Naomi, is Naomi. Can you say it with me? Naomi. That's how the Hebrew pronunciation is. Means pleasant, amiable one, or pleasant one. Their sons were named Mahlon. Actually, it's Mahlon. Can you say Mahlon? Mahlon is what it looks like, but Mahlon. And it means sick, or the weak. Not a great name to name your kid. Hi, I love you so much, I'm going to name you, I think maybe sick is the name for you. And then there's Chilion, only it's pronounced Kilion. Can you say it? Kilion. And it means consumption. So they were really feeling positive when they had these kids. Hi, you're sick, you're consumption. The faint or pining. Then the name of one of the daughters-in-law later comes on the scene. Her name is Orpah. Say Orpah. Her name means stubbornness. And then there's Ruth. And it's pronounced Ruth. It may be Reuet, but her name means friendship or association. Elimelech dies and he leaves Naomi, a widow with two sons. They marry then again daughters of Moab. And then the two sons die. The family's been a stranger in this land of Moab for 10 years. And Naomi hears that the Lord has restored bread to Israel. And we talked some last week, and I'm just going to hit some of the highlights, but the point of Scripture that shows us this redemption in God is that turning around brings blessing. Say it with me. Turning around brings blessing. How many know that's the meaning of repentance? The word repentance. I'm heading this way, I face God, I turn around, and I go the other way, and my sin keeps going away from me. He separates our sin as far as the east is from the... How far is that? A long way. Thank God, a long way. So Naomi, I'm probably going to go right back into the common pronunciations. Naomi returns to go back home. Orpah, one of the daughters-in-law, she turns to go back home to her Moabite family and country. Remember, she began to follow after Naomi. Ruth turns, on the other hand, and she doesn't just turn to leave her country. The Bible literally says, the Hebrew means she fastens upon Naomi. She fastens upon her. She impinges upon her. She hangs on to her. And if you remember your scriptures, Naomi says 3 times, turn around, go home. Go home, kid. You bug me. Only she didn't say that. Go home, go back to your families. And there really was a caring heart on her part, because she says, there's no way I'm going to be able to have children again to raise up as husbands for you. Go home where you can be cared for. A woman by herself in the culture in that day was a woman uncared for. Unless she had provision, sons, families that would care for her, many times she was turned to destitution, many times turned to prostitution, other kinds of things. They were in devastated condition. And so Ruth is told three times, turn around, go home. But Ruth turns, literally fastens herself, the Bible says, on Naomi. She turns from her family, from her country, and from her gods to go with Naomi. There is a total break with the old. Now, if you understand, how many understand that Naomi probably, or and is, according to the scriptures, extremely discouraged in this section of scripture? Very discouraged. Would you be? Life is the pits. We're talking about the brokenhearted. Naomi was brokenhearted. She's lost everything. Lost it all. But there must have been something in her that Ruth liked. Why do you think Ruth wanted to leave her country, leave her family? She left her prosperity. She left it all to go with Naomi. There must have been something in Naomi's life, in this relationship with God, that Ruth found attractive. And she says, I want to go with you. I want to go be with you, with that spirit. That blessing, we don't know, but there must have been something. May I ask you a question? What do your neighbors see when they look at you? What do your friends and extended family see when they look at you? I'm not trying to get confrontive. I'm just asking. I have to ask myself the same question. Am I living the presence of God, Jesus, and His presence in such a way that somebody else wants a part of it? Hopefully you will. Okay? But don't we all want to encourage each other in the Lord? Don't we all want to live in such a way that somebody wants to follow after us in the Lord? Ruth wanted to go with Naomi. She'd seen something. The true meaning of repentance. Again, it just wasn't, I'm just going to go to church on Sunday morning and then not worry about it all week long. She said, I'm leaving it all. My friends, my family, my complacency, my comfortable life. I'm leaving my gods. I'm leaving my country. I'm leaving it all to go with you, Naomi. Watch it out of Ruth chapter 1, 16 and 17. Say it with me, please. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God. This is huge. Understand it. Let it live in front of you. This is a huge transformation taking place in Ruth's life. But she doesn't just commit herself for her present. Look what she says. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. Now, I want you to understand, we have the benefit of looking in hindsight back on the passage of Scripture. At the time this was happening, do you understand Ruth had no idea how she would be accepted? Or if she would be accepted. She was from Moab. She was a Moabitess. We're going to speak about that in a moment. She had no idea that the people of God would accept her, that God would accept her, that Ruth's extended family would accept her, that anybody would accept her. But she says, I want what you've got, and I'm going that way, and I'm saying goodbye to the past, and I'm giving it my all. I'm even going to die there. This decision is so life-impacting, so life-changing. Now, contrast that with the casual, comfortable Christianity many people think is Christianity today. I just acknowledge Jesus during a quick prayer on Sunday morning, and then I turn around and go live like I want all week long. And then maybe I'll make my way back in a few weeks into the house of God and check in one more time. Isn't that what a lot of Americana Christianity is? And this is saying, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. All right, let's talk about leaving Moab behind. Now, Moab was a country that had a lot of contention with Israel. Let's speak about it historically. There was a world that fought against Israel. How many understand the world system fights against Jesus in Christianity? How many understand that? It's not real popular to be a Christian in some circles, in a lot of circles. Okay, in most all circles. But thank God we've got the liberty to still do that and serve Him here. But there was contention. Moab, its name, the name Moab means from father. You remember where Moab came from? An incestuous relationship with his oldest daughter, Lot's oldest daughter, with Lot, then produced an offspring called Moab. They worshipped, the Moabites did, the god Chemosh, a wicked god, and who sacrificed, they sacrificed children into the fire to him. There was some mixture, there was some respect for the worship of Yahweh. But let's just get a quick summation of Moab. What was Moab? Moab had ties to Jacob's sons, Reuben and Gad. Say Reuben, not just a sandwich, Reuben and Gad. And they settled in the Transjordan region of Moab. Let's put up that map, if we would, please. So what you've got the Dead Sea here, the Sea of Galilee is up here, the Jordan River connects them both. Jerusalem's over here. Bethlehem means the house of bread, and there was no bread. So they go over to Moab. Here's Moab over here. Moab's brother, the youngest daughter of Lot, had sex with her dad, got him drunk and had sex with him, and had another offspring. And that name was Ammon. So you've got Moab and Ammon. Syria is up here. Judah becomes down here in the division of the kings, and Israel was up here. So we're over in Moab in this area. And it is actually a high place, about 3,000 feet high off of the Dead Sea, perhaps right on up to 4,500 feet. And so there were some fertile fields, some deep ravines. It was actually a lush place, and water would come, even though it was by the Dead Sea. The rains would come, and it was a bit of a temperate climate, and so they had money and wealth coming in. Moab was also on a route called the King's Highway. They had limestone there and other products that made it very desirable. So Moab had money, had resource. It was not a impoverished place. And at the time that they went to Moab, Bethlehem was in a famine. God was dealing with them. But what else happened in Moab? So you've got Reuben and Gad and Manasseh who decide to settle in this land. Remember what happened? They construct a large altar there. And Israel has just come in, taken their land, and they said they've constructed an altar to another god. And so they strap on their swords, they're getting ready to go to war, and Phinehas, the priest, goes over and talks to the elders of those tribes, and they say, no, we're not building an altar to another god, we're building an altar so you will see that we still are a part of worshiping Yahweh, and we are a part of the blessed community. And so they put away their swords and they say, praise God. That happened in the area of Moab. All right? So there was that. Mount Nebo is in Moab. How many remember what happened on Mount Nebo? Anybody? That's right. You're not going to get pass or fail on this. Anybody remember Mount Nebo? That's where Moses died, on Mount Nebo. You've got the Moabite prince Balak. How many remember Balak? You will when I tell you. He felt threatened by the presence of Israel, and so he hired a prophet named Balaam. Remember? He hires Balaam to come in and curse Israel. But to the king's dismay, Balaam only blessed Israel and prophesied the doom of Moab. Remember, it was while Israel was encamped at Shittim that Moab and the Midianite women engaged in sexual relationships with the Israelites. Remember, ultimately, Balaam was destroyed because he taught them the way to kill Israel and to get to Israel was to get them involved in the worship of other gods and involved in wrongful sexual activity. Welcome to America. You think the Bible has anything to say to today? And so they got all involved in mixture. Remember, there was a judgment and a plague that came on them. Remember, the Bible says, if you remember your scripture, remember, the Bible is our text, right? So you've got the Old Testament where Moses is coming down, he's confronting the people, and they watch this Israelite carry a Moabitish woman into his tent right in front of him. Remember that? Remember how, and then there's a plague that broke out. 24,000 Israelites died in the plague because of their mixture and worship of other gods and wrongful activity. And remember, that plague didn't stop until the son of Aaron, I believe it was, and his name was Phinehas, took a spear, thrust it through, and killed the sin. And then the plague stopped. All that took place in Moab. I'm talking about, what's Moab all about? How many of you think Moab was the right place for that family to go when bread got tight? How many understand that when times are tough, going back to the ways of the world will never help? Turning your back on Jesus and saying, it must be the world that has my answers. I'm frustrated with God. I'm frustrated with God's house. Maybe alcohol has it. Maybe drugs have it. Maybe pornography. Or maybe wrong illicit relationships. Or maybe I'm just not going to go to the house of God at all anymore. How many know you're only going to multiply your problems? You're not going to get deliverance. Don't you wish, come on, it's quiet in here. Don't you wish that God would just, at the snap of a hand, come down and do everything just right? Like, you know, like you saw it in the Disney movies growing up. Like, don't you wish God was a magic wand? Sometimes He allows us to suffer. Turn to each other and say, are you suffering yet? Then your answer, some of you might answer, only during the message. Sometimes God allows things into our life to root out the mixture and the sin and the things that so easily beset us. Don't turn again and go back to Moab. All right. Ruth had no assurance that she would be blessed in her new choice. But regardless of her circumstances, Naomi said, I'm going to go back home. I'm going back to the house of bread and to the house of God. And Ruth says, regardless of the circumstances, I'm going with you. I choose your way, Yahweh. Say it with me. I choose your way, Yahweh. Time to leave the old ways. Time to leave Moab. Time to leave Moab behind. And there's your mark of true Christianity. Regardless of blessing, future, fortune, or favor, Naomi turned to go back home, and Ruth turned to go to her new home. Say with me, God is watching over me. Do you believe it? Naomi has a broken heart. Has anyone in this room ever had a broken heart? Dan has said no, he's never had a broken heart. No. We know what it's like, don't we? If we realize what she's really going through, we're going to hear it and we're going to watch it unfold, but it's pretty powerful. Watch this. Ruth didn't get, I'm going between Naomi and Ruth, and this whole book is all about Ruth. But this morning, I'm spending some time on Naomi, or Noomi, because there's something for us to learn. Ruth didn't get positive feedback from Naomi. Did you notice that in the scripture, by the way? She says, I'm going with you, turn back, I'm going with you, turn back, I'm going with you, turn back. And the Bible says, seeing she could not prevail, or whatever, she stopped talking to her about it. That sounds like, okay, suit yourself, and walk away. But she doesn't hear her say, great choice, Ruth, I'm just thrilled. Who knows? Maybe Naomi thought, oh man, another mouth to feed, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it. Maybe she was blessed. There's no question she was eternally blessed. But nevertheless, Ruth didn't get a whole lot of positives. She had just made a heart decision. Let's look at the scriptures. Ruth chapter 1, 19 through 22. You can follow along in your own Bible or up at the screen. Ruth chapter 1, 19 through 22. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Say the last sentence with me. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Interestingly, 10 years earlier, they left the house of bread because there was no bread. God has dealt with her, and now she's turned around to go home, and just in time for some fresh bread. Excited. The word excited in here. The whole city was excited. And the Hebrew word is whom. Say whom. And it means to make an uproar, to agitate greatly. Say, Naomi comes into town with Ruth, and man, they're all in an uproar. Wow, that's what the word literally means. They're agitated. They remember Naomi. They gather around her and Ruth. But they also see a change. 10 years of hard living, hard life, grief, sorrow, sadness, undoubtedly now observable on her face and countenance. Let me ask again, what do your neighbors see on your face and on your countenance? Is there anything attractive about Jesus when they look at us? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. All of us suffer in life. The difference is in how we handle it. My heart breaks for these people who got swept away in a quick flash flood. Did you see in Arkansas? Did you see the one lady saying, in 10 minutes, we were flooded over? In 10 minutes. It began as a trickle of rain, and 10 minutes later, they were completely overwhelmed and engulfed in water. They found one couple 8 miles down the road. Wasn't it, Ken, you said? 8 miles down the road. How many of you know that certainly not everybody in Arkansas's suffering in floods was unjust? Not everybody in the Gulf is unjust. The just, the unjust. The rains come. The difficulties come. How many are grateful that you have Jesus to walk with and a family to walk with as well? I wish I could tell you there's no suffering in life. Life is the great equalizer. Years and years ago, I had gallbladder surgery. I'd love to say I had the new fashion kind of gallbladder surgery. You don't have to raise your hand if you've had gallbladder surgery, but we are kind of a team, you know. I had the old-fashioned way, which means I got a scar from here to here. In fact, I took out my tape measure and measured it last night. Problem was, I couldn't go straight. I had to go around the horn. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, so it's about an 8-inch scar. And I don't know, maybe like with your scars, is it ever numb? Do your scars ever feel numb every now and then and kind of aches every now and then, reach down there? Scars make themselves known in our lives. Some of us have scars that we're too embarrassed to even talk about. We don't want to show. You know, the old guys from Texas, you want to see my scar? Well, some of us have scars we don't want anybody to see. Some of us have scars and difficulties in life that leaves scars. But the scarring experience was allowed by Jesus to allow us to grow. Am I growing yet, Lord? Naomi hurts. Naomi's got a broken heart. Scars of heart and soul, and it's showing on her countenance. And she wasn't encouraging to Ruth. And she's just going to go back home, and she has no idea what's going to face her there. But we catch up to her, and she goes home. But home isn't yet back in her. The city gathers. They're stunned. They're moved. They're agitated. Recognition comes. Watch the interplay. And they say, isn't this Naomi? And the meaning of the Hebrew is, isn't this the pleasant one? That's her name. Naomi says, don't call me pleasant. Call me what? Mara, which means bitter. Life has been hard. Life is tough. Watch the scripture. But she said to them, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord has brought me home empty again. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me, has dealt very bitterly. Bitterly, the Greek or the Hebrew rather is me'od, and it means vehemently, wholly, speedily, louder and louder. The tenor of the meaning is she just kept getting hit and hit and hit and hit. God is continuing to pummel me vehemently. Now, you can look at me religiously all you want and say, come on, don't say that of God. All the commentaries do. She blamed God. And that was a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing. It's also real life, isn't it? Am I only going to get one acknowledgement? Me, who says I ask why every now and then? And sometimes I think, God, why did you do? And all he is extending is a hand saying, son, I don't know why you did what you did, but come back home. Blow after blow. Every one of them hard. No husband. Now no children. Now no way of even having grandchildren to care for her in her old age. And the only way she can explain it, the only way she knows how, what is deep inside, is that God has done this to me. God Himself, the Almighty, has dealt vehemently with me in very bitter ways. I went out full. How many of you know that's not true? She had a husband and children, but she definitely wasn't full, or they wouldn't have gotten up and left Bethlehem in the first place. They had problems, and they thought they could change their problems by changing their circumstances. Come on, nobody in this room ever does that, do you? If I just move to another city, that problem won't be there. If I just change my job, that problem won't be there. And too often times you get there and the problem's you, so it's still there. So true. I went out full. But really, we should understand she did go out full in every way that meant something to a woman in Israel. Her children. Her husband. Life ahead of her and new opportunities to abound. Let's go seek some new opportunity. And then she says, and the Lord has brought me home again. Back to the house of bread. But this time, empty. Say the word with me. Empty. The Hebrew word is rakam. Rakam. And it means she's come emptily, ineffectually, undeservedly. Here I am back home without cause. The meaning of the Hebrew is I'm empty. I have no purpose. My life is of no effect. My life means nothing because my family, which was my purpose, is gone. Naomi is brokenhearted. Have you ever lost a loved one? Death? Violence? Divorce? Ever been left saying to yourself, what's my purpose now? What's my purpose now? But I want to say with you, and have you say with me, it's not your provision that defines who you are. Say it with me again. It's not your provision that defines who you are. I belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. Whether or not your children are around you or your family is around you or they're gone, whether or not your business has gone bankrupt, whether or not you've lost your home, lost your property, you have a short sale or a foreclosure, it doesn't make any difference because God's got a hold of you. Someone say amen. Amen. My purpose is in Him. It's not my provision that defines me. You're not just a wife or a mother. You're the daughter of the King. Your life is crucial important. Crucially important. And then I'm going to just have a few more points and close. I spoke this a couple of weeks ago with a woman who had been tragically abused in her life. Physically, emotionally, in just about every way. Her children weren't around her. Her husband became a foul man who left her in the midst of terrible circumstances. And it is everything she can do to feel like she deserves anything good in her life. But she was coming to an understanding that I belong to Jesus. Church, say it with me. I belong to Jesus. Naomi's there. God's done this to me. I must have deserved the blow somehow. I did it, but He did it to me. And she goes on and says, the Lord has testified against me. The Hebrew word of testified is anah, and it means He's shouting. He's announcing against me. That's what Naomi is saying here. God is shouting and announcing against me that I'm empty. Is that what the Lord is shouting? The Lord has afflicted me, she says, and that Hebrew is ra'ah. That means the Lord is literally, listen to her word, breaking me to pieces and making me good for nothing. Have you ever felt good for nothing? Come on. Ever felt good for nothing? Church, this is all about what we sometimes allow ourselves to think and feel. Life gets tough and we feel bad. Maybe we did do it. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we sinned. Thank God there's a Savior for that. Come on, I said, thank God there's a Savior for that. If your sin's bigger than the Savior, who are you going to go to? No one left. But He is the Savior. And there's no sin bigger than Him. He sees you. He knows you. There's a deep image and belief inside of Naomi. She's ashamed. And she's tormented with a belief that God is against her. And maybe she thought, I'm too far gone for God to do anything good for me. I just better go back home. Church, thank God, even when you mess up, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Turn in repentance if it describes you this morning. Maybe you did mess up. But thank God the healer in Jesus is here. Thank God the one who welcomes you back to the house of bread. Never forgets you. Always loves you. Sees you. Considers you. Is willing to forgive you even for the accusations you and I make against Him when we blame Him. Naomi probably is the closest in the Bible to the female picture of suffering that Job goes through. Unless you count Mary, who had to watch the brutal beating of her son. But God is getting ready to make some fresh bread. Come on, say it with me. God is getting ready to make some fresh bread. You got to look at the foundation of where we're coming from with Naomi and Ruth in order to appreciate where we're going. She was at the end. No hope, no expectancy, none understanding that her circumstances would change. She just knew she needed to turn around and go home. And God says, come on, honey, this is what I've been waiting for. Come on home. I've got blessing you don't understand. I've got some good news for you that you don't know about. I've got a new day and a new beginning. I've got new hope for you. I've got new beginnings for you if you'll receive me and come on home. Come back to the house of bread. Come back to the house of God. You know one thing I love about Naomi? She became the great, great grandmother of the famous best king in Israel. What was his name? You know what I love about Naomi? I think David must have got it from her. You get a load of how honest she is. You ever been to the Psalms? Is David religious and then living in denial? No, he's saying, oh, well, how could they do this to me? Get him, God. How could you do this to me, God? He must have been a little bit like his great, great grandma, Naomi. Next week, I want you to do something for me. I want you to come back. I want you to bring your friends. And I want you to look again at the book of Ruth with me because we're going to be watching this book unfold in amazing ways. And as we conclude the day, I want to ask you a question. How deep is the pain in your life and how deep has it been? I'm not trying to just make you in touch with your pain, but if you deny it, you'll never get to the healer. Maybe you've said to yourself, God has done this to me. Perhaps you've sinned and things have fallen apart. Maybe your business has come to nothing. Maybe your family's lost. You look back and think, it's all for nothing. But Jesus is here and sees you and knows you. He doesn't hate you, but He loves you so much. If you're a prodigal, you said, I've gone too far and wasted my life. The Father welcomes you back home. I'm too far gone, done too much. There was a man who loved God so much, he influenced thousands and thousands of people. He influenced people in different cultures and in different nations even. They would shut down, revival would come, and they would shut down their houses of idolatry and false worship, and they would begin to worship God. This man was so precious and loved by thousands of people and influenced folks to go in the right way. Sadly, it didn't pass on to his son. And you know that happens a lot of times in life. And his son said, everything my dad stood for, I don't want anything to do with. And he became harder than ever. He hardened his heart. And he said, it didn't matter. You probably can't imagine anything wicked that this young man did not do purposely to go against his father. And in fact, he took thousands with him into witchcraft and into the idolatrous worship of other gods. It was a horrible thing. Until finally, his life completely fell apart. He ended up in jail in a foreign land. And on the jail cell in the foreign land, he hit his knees and humbled himself. And he said, God, I've been so wrong. I repent. Let me go back home. And God heard his prayer. I'm too far gone. But God heard his prayer. I've done too much. But God heard his prayer. And he took Manasseh, the most wicked king of Israel, back home, the son of Hezekiah. And in the remaining years of his life, he did everything he could to make right what he had done wrong. And the Lord took him home to the throne in Israel again. How many of you know Jesus sees you right where you are? Come on back home to the house of bread. Don't be afraid of the real stuff inside, because Jesus loves you and has got healing for you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows what you've experienced, and He loves you. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you this morning? Yes. Aren't you glad that when you cry, He cries? He knows what you're going through. Now, if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, go ahead and bow your heads, would you please? If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the day to do so. Ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. I want you to make your way right up front. We'll be honored to pray with you as you surrender to Him. Come give your life to the Lamb of God who died for you. If you need healing in your body and there's something that's out of whack, Jesus is a healer. He's come to heal you. If there's something in your heart this morning you want to come and commit to prayer, you want someone to pray with you, we'd be honored to do that. What a great God we serve. Now I'm going to pray for you and we're going to close. Lord, I thank you for being so gracious, so good, so kind, so wonderful, even in the midst of the times that are so frustrating to us, and we blame you when we may have done it ourselves. You're still good and you're still God. Now I pray you'd bless these precious people here this morning. And we thank you for the example of Naomi and Ruth, who made their way back to the house of bread. What grace we look forward to. Thank you, Lord, for this time together in Jesus' name. Remember Wednesday night, 6:30, Grace Gathering, and other events that are coming up. Listen to the scripture, Numbers 6, 24 through 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Can you receive that this morning? God bless you. Be released.